Well, good evening, folks.
Amen.
It sure is good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
Be with the Lord's people.
Amen.
As they were singing that song, I thought about what Brother Plemons said when he was in college, you know, and he got that bad accident, and God saved him. And he went down and got acquainted with Ralph Sexton Sr. And he said he and Brother Sexton was walking one day out in the yard there at the church. And Brother Sexton said, you know, it's a wonder. All of these years of serving the Lord, he said, there's just no way you can explain it. It's so glorious and wonderful, there's just no way to explain it. And I thought about that when they were singing. I always look forward to coming here. I like the seriousness of the meeting, the soberness of the meeting. And I got to come on Friday and heard those great men preach. And then I knew the men you were having today, this morning, and it really humbles me to be here. I'm serious. I thought, man, what in the world can I preach that would help anybody after all we heard even on Friday? And that is, much of that is contributed to the leadership, the prayers, dedication of the man of God and you people. And, you know, you go a lot of places and you wonder when you leave if you accomplish hardly anything or what's going on. I appreciate these prayer times. You know, you were here on Friday. I mean, I was here on Friday and you had that prayer time that helped me. And it really helped me tonight to spend some time in prayer before I got up to preach, knowing that God must help me if I'm going to give you anything worthwhile. I'd like to say a lot of things to the church. I appreciate all you're doing in evangelism and getting out the Word of God and all those books that you put out that has to do with salvation. You know, there was a lady saved at Calvary Sunday a week ago. And her husband told me, he said she'd been reading those books on salvation along with her Bible, and she got saved in the morning service. I preached at Calvary last Sunday night, and I didn't intend to say these things, but the Lord brought it to my memory. I preached at Calvary last Sunday night, and this lady's husband had gotten saved. He was a Tennessee Highway Patrolman for years. He's 81. If you lived in that area, you might have met him one day. Name was Buddy Patton. He's the only man that ever gave me a ticket. I was going to the hospital one day to Rockwood, and Brother Patton pulled me over, and I didn't know how fast I'd run. I just kind of got to be the pastor at Calvary. And I was going down to Rockwood Hospital. That's when they still had a hospital there. And I got down at Roane County Park, and it's 50 miles an hour. I didn't know. I was just going to the hospital. And I'm driving along, and I see the blue lights. And when I see the blue lights, I look down my speedometer, and I was doing 65. And I thought, oh, Lord. Law's caught up with me, sure the world. And he come up to the car, and I gave him a license, and I was kind to him, and he wrote me a ticket. He was kind to me. He said, take that to the judge, and he said he might take care of it for you. So I went up to the judge and pleaded guilty, and he said, now, preacher, I tell you what, I'm going to take care of this one, but don't bring me another one. And I never have took another one. That's the only one I ever got. But, you know, God's still in the saving business.
Yeah.
And his wife said, She got saved on Sunday night. I mean, she was ready to get saved. I preached and invitation time, and she just come and got saved. And after she got saved, she said, "I've been reading my Bible along with those books on salvation. God save me." Well, that was good. Two in a row. I mean, 2 weeks in a row. So anything that's been done, God's done it, as the pastor said. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm preaching tonight from the book of the Ephesians. I'm in the book of Ephesians, and I'm down in verse number 15 of Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. You know, the book of Ephesians is such a great book. Paul pastored that church 3 years. And when you study the Ephesians, the first three chapters has to do with doctrine. The lady that wrote the book, and she said something about it, the book of Ephesians, she said the first three chapters has to do with wealth. The wealth we've got in the Lord. And then she said from chapter 4 down to chapter 6 and verse 9, and that's the walk. And then from chapter 6 verse 10 and following, that's your warfare. I don't know if you can lay it out any better than that. But I'm interested tonight in what the Bible talks about the wealth that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. And I believe, as I studied this passage of the Word of God and I've studied the Bible through the years, I believe that if we knew as much as we should probably know, and I would say that personally about myself, I believe that's the first step in really going on with God, is to understand somewhat of the wealth that we have in the Lord. I think people would walk better and walk closer if they understood what Jesus did and what they have in Him. So that's, then I think when you get down, and this is the thing that's concerning me in churches, you go there and they want to have revival. They're over here and they really want to have revival. Most of them don't even know what they hardly have in the Lord. And because they don't hardly understand what they've got in the Lord, they have no desire to walk according to this book called the Bible. And as a result of that, you're trying to have revival and you're going to have to deal with those things before you can have revival. I'm convinced. So with those things said, let us read. If you want to stand, you can. If you're not tired, should we stand for a moment? I won't comment maybe too much on this as I move down through it. I'm in verse 15, where the Bible said, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith," faith in what? In the Lord Jesus. But not only that, he goes on to say, "and love unto all of the saints." Some saints is not as easy loved as others, but he said we ought to love all the saints. You know, there's times that none of us is probably so lovable. Isn't that right? Ceasing not, and you talked about what the pastor said this morning, ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I think that's the great work of the ministry. And that's the great work of the ministry in your life. You don't have to be a pastor. If you're not a person of prayer, you are not doing so well. You're not doing so well if you're not a person of prayer. All men can pray. Paul was busy, but he prayed without ceasing. Better keep a prayer on your heart.
Yes.
We better be praying now. He goes on to say in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now this is what he's praying. Watch it, church. That the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. By the way, let me stop right there. Do you know, if correctly counted, that the Bible tells us that we that know the Lord are in Christ 130 times in the New Testament. Pretty good place to be. Kind of a good place to be, isn't it? In Christ. You can preach a message on that. Several messages on that. So he talks about this mighty power of those that are in Christ. He goes on to say, in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the power of his mighty, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You may be seated. I doubt that time will permit, or strength will be given, our ability to listen as much as you've heard preaching, for me to preach all of these verses, but at least we'll go as far as God wants us to go. And try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So, we're trying to bring ourselves to a place of our wealth in Bible prayer for the saints. So he talks about, first of all, about their faith in the Lord. Paul gives, he does about their faith, and then he talks about their love. And I could say a lot about that, but I'm really interested in moving a little bit farther along, a little faster. So, the Bible said, ceasing not to give thanks for you. Now, church, the Lord reminds me, I don't pray for you all every day. I ought to, but I do pray for you. And I pray for your pastor. And when I pray for you and when I'm reminded of you, I give thanks. But I really do thank God for you. I thought about that as I was driving over tonight of the churches. And some of them I thought about as I drove over, and I thought, thank God for those saints. Thank God for that man of God there in that local church. Thank God for that local church. Paul said he prayed, he gave thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he was a praying man. Prayed for all of them churches. Made mention of them. Preacher, I don't think we can carry it too far when it comes to prayer. You know, one of the greatest things that I think in this meeting is you realize you're going to have to look to God. A lot of people don't know that. In fact, one of the things I'm finding as I'm out preaching, I'm finding that people think it's already over and they've got them a comfortable seat in our independent Baptist churches across this country. They think it's all over and they're waiting for one thing, and that's for the Lord to come. But He may not come in their lifetime. It'd be good if they just get on with the business of God, don't you think? I think that's right. I know that's right. That's got to be right. There's too much of the Bible about it for it to be wrong. So, He said, I have given thanks for mentioning you in my prayer. So, He evidently called them a name. Prayed for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul is giving thanks in his prayers. And one thing that he wants these saints to know is more about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't just want them, but I think you could enter your church, or the church where I'm a member, or any church for that matter, you could enter their name in that place and say, the Lord would surely be pleased if we knew more about His person. About Him. Don't you think? I believe that's got to be right. Do you realize, and do I realize, and do we all realize, that the entire Godhead is behind this church and behind any local Bible preaching church across this country or in any part of the world? The entire Godhead is behind it. If we walk with God like we ought to, the Lord's with us. Amen. The Bible tells us here that He, you know, we need to know more about the Lord. We need to know more about God. Knowledge of God comes from God, don't it? That's the reason why we pray. That's the reason why we read the book. That's why we try to obey the book. So we have this. The Bible said here that God is the Father of glory. In 1 Corinthians 8, or 2 and 8, the Bible said that Jesus is the Lord of glory. And then the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 8, or 2, 8, and 12, I'm getting my verses wrong, 9 through 11, he said that Jesus Christ is the Father, is the Father of glory, and Jesus is the Lord of glory, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of glory. He reveals that glory. Years ago when I was a young preacher, that's been a while, I was in Florida in a meeting. And they put me out in a little cabin, long by myself. The preacher was working pastor. And I got into 1 Corinthians 2 and found out something that I really need to know, that if I was going to be taught anything that would get beyond the reasoning of men, I had to have the Spirit of God to really teach me. Would you believe that's right? Oh, now I'm glad the wind blowed high this morning, and I would it blew high tonight, but I believe there's some things we need to get established on. Don't you think? We need to get established on some things. So the Spirit of God reveals to us some things. I want to confess to you. I'd like to confess to you. Let me first of all say I've been in the ministry 60 years and in my 61st year. Now that might be a lot to seem to talk about or brag about, but the farther down the road I've got, the farther I've come, I found out how little I know, as it seemed like I need to know. But what I am finding out in these later years is thrilling my soul about Him. He is thrilling my soul of what Jesus is to me, and I hope that He'll show you what He is to you. I hope we can get going, and God will help us tonight. Oh, I'm telling you, He's the Spirit. Look at it. The Bible said that He may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit wants to give to my spirit, to your spirit, to your life, the Spirit of wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, what's he saying? He's talking about revelation. We won't have any more revelation except the 66 books. I mean, we've got all that we need and more than I can digest in the 66 books. So God's not going to give me a new revelation as far as the Word of God is concerned, but God will give all of us greater revelation of the person of Christ and this book if we will stay with Him in the book. Let me phrase it this way. God will reveal to you and reveal to me if we'll get in the quiet place with God and look at this Bible and let the Spirit of God lead us to tell us what He's saying. You can read the commentaries sometime, and most of the time when you read the commentary, when they come to something hard, they skip it anyway. But if you and I can get to the point and to the place where we can let the Holy Ghost of God teach us what is in this book, we'll rise to plains unknown. And we'll get to heights that you never thought that you could get to. I've kind of got a saying, sometimes in the quiet place with God, God will come and reveal to you and I things, and I kind of got a saying, sometimes, Pastor, it'll almost make you want to throw the furniture out of the house. I mean, you get so excited about the Lord and His glory. You ever get that way? I heard Brother Ronnie Jones preach a message. I don't know whether you all heard it or not. He preached and said, we need to get church back in the home, in the house. He's talking about back in the home. He said we need to worship God at home. You know, if we worship God better at home, we'd worship God better at church, wouldn't you? Don't you think that's right? I tell you, until our homes are right, our churches are not going to be right. God created the home before He did the church. And in fact, that's the first institution. So us men, we ought to do all we can to be good leaders in the home. And women folk, if we're good leaders in the home, they ought to follow us to the fullest as we follow God. We ought to be submitted. Every lady in here is submitted. Every man is submitted to the Lord, right? Probably not hardly. All right. Watch this. I'm trying to move along. Watch what he had to say. And give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation.
which means that he reveals from this book the Bible in the knowledge of him. How am I going to know more? The more I know about the Bible and allow the Spirit of God to teach me. And I'm going to understand more and more and more about him. You know, it's sad. A lot of places nowadays brag on the devil more than they do the Lord. They talk about all the devil's doing. Well, he's doing a lot. But I want to tell you, the devil is in a losing game. He'd already defeated, and we ought to get over that. I'm telling you, we ought to recognize that the God of glory has got all the power. The God of glory can bring them sinners in. The God of glory can give you what you need. And he can give me what I need. I say to my wife, I have a study downstairs, but since her health like it is, I study upstairs, and I call it my den. And I'll say to her, I'm going to my den. I'll be there for a while. If you need me, just call me and I'll come. And I want you to know there's some good days in the den. God knows what he's doing. By the way, God's not even nervous on what's going on. Is he? Oh, if we could get into the realm where he is, begin to see him in all of his glory. His knowledge and his glory and his power in our lives comes through the leadership and the teaching of the Spirit of God. You young people, study your Bibles. Ask the Spirit of God to teach you. He is the teacher. Harry Ironside, great preacher in his day. He's with the Lord. His mom and dad lived in Pasadena, California. And Harry was there, and there's an older gentleman that came there from Ireland. And they said that he had what they call consumption in that day. And Dr. Ironside said he lived in just a little trailer behind his mom and dad, and I'd go visit him. And said he was just amazing of what he knew about the Scriptures. And he said he just opened up the Word of God like I never heard anyone. And he said, where did you go to Bible college? He said, I didn't go. He said, where did you go to seminary? He said, I didn't go. He said, well, how did you learn what you've learned about this Bible? You didn't go to any of those places. He said, I lived in a mud hut, a dirt floor in Ireland. And when I come to something in the Bible that I did not understand, I got down on my knees and put the Bible in front of me, and I called on God, and I asked the Holy Ghost of God to tell me and teach me what he was saying. And he taught me. The Spirit of God will take you places that no preacher can ever take you. I tell you, I need to know more about him. I need to know more about him. We can only know God in all of his glory as he, through the Word of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, reveals himself to us. We can only know the person of Christ as we come to the Word of God, and I know this is preached in this church over and over again, and the leadership and the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love the working of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, He wants them to know, and He wants us to know. He wants me to know. He wants you to know more about the portion of Christ that we have in Him. Look what the Bible said in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, what's He talking about? He's talking about, I convince, since we're saved, He's talking about the eyes of our heart. He's wanting to reveal to us from our heart the things that He's about to say unto us. Oh, that the Spirit of God would reveal unto us the things that we need to understand about Him. What's He going to reveal unto us? The Bible said that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in what? In the saints. The glory of His calling. Now let me take a moment here. And I need to be careful, but I need to make it clear. If God has never called you to salvation in conviction, regardless of how much religion you have, then you don't know the Lord. There is a divine call from God. The Holy Ghost arrests the sinner and draws the sinner to Jesus. It is a call. And if you've never been arrested by the high shepherd of heaven, you need to get arrested and get saved. I don't know how many times God calls. But I believe that all that hear the word, somewhere along the journey, God calls them. Now, there are preachers that tell you today they don't think God's calling anybody. I don't believe that. This is what I believe. I believe God's still calling people. They're not answering. You can call me if I don't pick up the phone and answer. It's not your fault. Right? I believe God is calling. How many times He'll call, I don't know. Through my life, I'd always believed in the Lord. I'd always believed in hell. I've been taught that. I always didn't know, but there was one Bible and still don't know no better. I'm doing pretty good with that. I've done rather well, and I've done better, even practiced more while I'm preaching tonight, probably. I have not arrived. I tell you where I have arrived, that I don't know near as much as I ought to know about the Lord and about His portion and about His ways. They're past finding out this thing of salvation. You better leave that to God. These intellectuals think they got to get it all figured out. They're not going to get it all figured out. They just need to believe it. I could preach a message right there for a while. But I'm telling you, folks, I am telling you now that God calls young people, boys and girls and men and women. He calls them to salvation. Salvation is not of humanism. Salvation is not of man. Salvation is of the Lord. And if the Lord didn't give you salvation, that soul winner can't give you salvation. It takes the Lord. That's what he said, and what'd that mean in the Hebrew, and what'd that mean in the Greek? It meant the Lord is the one that's got salvation, and if you ever get it, you're going to have to come to Him for it. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got in on it. Are we dragging our feet too slow? I hope we're running all right. We cannot. You cannot. I cannot. I don't think we can take it all in. We're just kind of getting tuned up for where we're going. Look at your Bible. That you may know what is the hope of your call. His call. Now, I'll tell you, I know a man. He's got a big church. They say it's a church. I guess it is. A lot of people. The candlestick's not there, and God didn't birth it. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, God births churches. He gets a man. He puts some people around him. May not be many, and he births that. And as long as the candlestick's there, it's a church. And the candlestick leaves, it's not a church. She may go through a lot of rough times, but I'll tell you what, when the old ship of Zion gets through the rough times, she'll still be standing. You don't have to wait. Somebody said, what in the world is going to happen to the church? She's going up at the proper time. Well, what's going to happen until she does go up? We're just going to ride out the storm. Hallelujah. I kind of like it. In fact, I like it a whole lot. Praise God. I started somewhere with that. He said that preacher said he never had remembered ever being called of God. Said he just always wanted to do that. They sent him out to some of the Bible schools. I know I've been around there. And they say that, you know, if you don't know what to do, well, then let us tell you what you need to do. Now, that's really New Testament doctrine, isn't it? I believe when God gets ready for man to do something, He calls him. If he's a God's man, He calls him. My calling to preach is as real as my calling to salvation. Amen. If you're saved tonight and you know the Lord, you may not be called to preach, but you're in this body and God has something for you to do, and you need to roll up your sleeves and get with it. And if you're not in this body and you're in another body, you better roll up your sleeves and get with it. God wants you to know enough to know what you're supposed to be doing. And if you will get into the Bible, well, the preacher will tell you, but you do a lot better if you get a lot of it in there for yourself. Yeah. So, God, let that preacher in. Brother Sexton, I'll meet folks down the... I might have told you all this before, but let me tell it again. I kind of like it. I'll meet them downtown and they'll say, preacher, are you still a preaching? I heard you'd retired. No. I didn't retire. I retired from the pastorate, but I didn't retire on God. I didn't know you could. And it just kind of bothers me. It gets under my skin a little. And I say to him, you know what I say? Is there any longhorn cattle in Texas? If there are, I'm still preaching. Is there any Hispanics in Mexico City? If there are, I'm still preaching. They said old Dr. Seitler said to tell the church they can come by and see me now. I'm getting ready to go home. And he preached all day the day he died. He graduated to the glory world. You ought to do whatever God's told you to do until the day you die. You ought to be trying to do it if you know it. It's your responsibility to find out what God wants you to do.
Some of you folks, you would not know how you bless us with your music. Boy, I look forward to coming to this church just to hear the choir sing and hear the special music and be in a place where the presence of God is. God, have mercy. I go to some places, I almost think I'd rather be 40 miles from water and choked on peanut butter. You know, it's bad. It's really bad. Oh, my. I'm telling you, the entire Godhead's behind what we're doing. Yes. God's got you on His mind. Do you know that? And you're in His kingdom. And you are somebody to God. But you need to humble yourself and let Him work through you. But you are somebody that God wants to use. Yeah. The entire Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I think I've got this right, but I didn't count them. They tell me, the people that studied the stars, that there's over 600 billion. I don't know whether that's right or not. But I guess there's so many out there, they probably can't count them all. Isaiah 26. What is that? Isaiah 26 or 40:26 talks about them stars. Psalms, he talks about the stars. Psalms 147. You know what God said about the stars? He said He made the stars in Genesis. You know, He talks about the creation and He said He made the star. And did you know what? God was concerned enough about His creation that's out there that He named every star. He gave them a name. Do you think He's interested in us that He's bought with the price of the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ? I say He's kindly excited about His church.
Amen.
Praise God for His church.
Amen.
Two things gets under my skin. And one of them is when people start attacking the church. And Pastor, the other one is when they start attacking God's man, the preacher, the under-shepherd, the one that oversees the flock and his family. I've seen it rain pretty hard in these four scores. Makes me want to catch it one night when it's raining like they've never seen it before. Take me a good hammer and go up on the roof and tear the shingles off and let it rain on them. I'm not that mean, but it does make me think about that. Praise God. I love the Lord, and I love His church, I love His people, and I love His man. Oh, yes, the hope we have in Him, that divine love. He said, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I don't know what time I started. Preaching. I don't know what time I start. I'm trying to get through. You all have heard everything that probably maybe you need to hear, but I've just got a few things.
Yeah, pretty good.
Just a few things. You know, what happened to us when God saved us and redeemed us? Peter said in 1 Peter 1:12 that the angels desired to look up
look in on it. It's kind of something, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
And then he wants us to know more, and I'll just hit the highlights in this one. It's certainly important, more about the power of his person. Look at it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Well, what's it there for? To usward who believe. God's given us the power to get through whatever we need to get through. Get the job done. I believe God's got a job to be done now, and he's got the power to get it done. We just need to walk with him and obey him. According to the working of his mighty power. Young men, young ladies, moms and dads and grandparents, you just remember that he's exceeding great in his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. You know how he works? He works through his word and the power of the Holy Ghost of God and obedient Christians. Well, that message on obedience yesterday was rather something. We need to obey. Don't you think? The preciousness of his blood. Entire. Look at him in verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. How did this all take place? This was wrought in Christ. Through the cross, through the tomb, and through the resurrection. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And by the way, if you're saved, that's where you're seated. I don't understand this, but I'm down here, but I'm seated up there. Well, that's impossible. With man, that's right, but not with God, because nothing's impossible with God. Do you believe that? I believe that's got to be right, or none of the book's right. And it's right. He gives witness to that. By the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, this is where he is. He's far above. He's far above all principalities. He's far above the President of the United States and all of these world leaders. He's far above principalities. All of the demon powers, all the powers of fallen angels and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the kind of power he's got. That's who's behind the local New Testament church. That's who's behind you for whatever God has assigned you to do in the local church. Just start doing it. Get with it. And don't think you can't get it done. I'm going to tell you something. God can do more with you than you ever believed God could do. You hear me? God, young people, God can do more with you than you ever thought God could do with you. God called me to preach basically between the plow handles of mules down in Georgia. That's right. I raid on the farm and work from daylight to dark. Don't tell me that a man of God's lazy and all he has to do is say a few things about three times a week. He's got men. He's not lazy. God called me, and he called me. He didn't call me to plow. He called me to preach. Praise God, that makes me want to kick the stops out. He's behind what you're doing. Young people, listen to me. Boys, if God's telling you to do something, get with it. Let's see. Elders guide you and lead you, but when you study, let the Holy Ghost lead you. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to read the rest of it. Have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, He's the head of the church. I believe Brother Jones is right. There's not a verse in the Bible that gives you the answer to every little matter in one sentence. Isn't that right? But that's why God's got an overseer and a pastor. And when He puts it in His heart, the best thing you can do is where you understand or I understand not, so get behind Him and go with Him. Well, what if he's wrong? Maybe he missed it. He'll answer to God, so just go on and do what you're supposed to do, and you'll answer God if you don't. Amen, preacher. Amen. That's a pretty good position to be, a church member. Amen. Brother Fleming, my pastor, whatever he does, well, I trust him that he'll follow God and he'll do what God tells him to do unconditionally. You know, the matter's in his hands. I just pray for him. He'll find the way. That's what we ought to do. We ought to pray for this man of God. You people ought to pray for this man of God every day. Every day. Because he watches for your soul. And he's praying for you. And his wife is praying for you. And she's holding up his hands. And we need to hold up his hands. I'm just throwing that in as extra curriculum. Okay. All right. We're almost there, aren't we? Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And all the people said, amen. All right? Well, we're a body. We are a body. You got a body. Wouldn't it be terrible if I said, my right hand said to my left hand, I don't need you. I went to the church the other day and I was kind of shocked. I don't know. You know, it's not uncommon. And I don't mean this wrong now. I mean it in the right spirit, in the right way. I felt a little bit embarrassed. And there's a man, his wife came in. It's not uncommon for a man, seems like, to maybe not have a limb. But I started to shake hands with her, and she didn't have a limb. She didn't have an arm. And it kind of just set me back. I didn't know hardly how to handle it. But I just reached out and shook the one. But I thought, I would say that dear lady would not tell you that she had no need for that limb. Now, that's another message in itself. But what I'm trying to say in closing is get in your place in the church. And if you're an eye, be thankful. If you're an ear, be thankful. If you're a hand, be thankful. Did you know, I understand, I've been told this. I never had a doctor tell me this. I'm going to ask one. Next time I go, I'm going to ask you. They tell me, as ugly as my big toe is, and I'm not going to show it to you, but if I did not have that big toe, I would not have good balance and I couldn't stand. But just my big toe. I don't know what your responsibility is in this body, this church, but you know what? You better get with it. Because if you don't, God's going to hold you. Well, He'll hold preacher responsible, not for your job, not for your responsibility. And that was not supposed to be in the message, but it got in there. Amen. I guess it was supposed to be in there. Let us stand, Pastor. You come. Thank you. Thank you all. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.
Sister Kenny's going to play a verse of a song. I don't know what the Spirit of God may have done in your heart, in your life with the message. If God's spoken to your heart, I pray you'll be obedient to Him. I pray you'll be honest enough and big enough just to obey the Spirit of God this evening.